Oh, what a marvelous day. Oh, what a marvelous morning. It's the afternoon. Hey, guys, welcome back to Marvel Movie News. We're going to be talking about Dark Phoenix's new international trailer. That was way better than their domestic trailer. And we're talking about Captain Marvel. Christian got to see it. We didn't get to see it, but Christian saw it, and he's going to give us his spoiler-free review of the film that comes out later tonight, plus a ton of casting rumors across a bunch of different films. Let's talk about all of that on today's Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from the Kree home world. Whoop, whoop. I'm pretty sure we're, like, next to the Supreme Intelligence, and it's real uncomfortable.
Yeah, but we each have to take a number. None of us get to go see the Supreme Intelligence just yet.
I can feel him, like, watching me. He's semi-psychic, and it's just really, really uncomfortable.
Zach, why does it have to be a him?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That would be like, why does MODOK have to be a him?
Intelligent. Yeah.
I don't know. The Kree are not. Right. I don't really think of the Kree as the most, like, progressive species.
Nor should you.
So I don't think that they're at a point where they're like, well, it's a combination of many people over the decades. So we refer to the Supreme Intelligence as a they, them. No, the Kree are pretty backwards. Anyway, weird tangent to start the show with. Hey, guys, welcome back. Marvel Movie News today. I'm so excited to talk about this stuff that we have today. We got a bunch of small stories. One big story that, like, Christian. So, as I said, Christian has seen Captain Marvel.
That's right. These eyes have seen the entire movie.
Damn you, Christian.
And both post-credit scenes, which I don't think that's a spoiler. I think it's always important to make sure people know there's two.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah. I mean, not that I ever leave until it's, like, done anyway, just because I know. But, you know,
but
for everyone else.
So I've seen it.
I'm always confused when people leave, because there's always a few people who leave movies. Like,
so the screening I was at on Monday, people, as soon as the credits started, there were a decent number of people that left. And I'm like, okay, have you seen one of these movies before?
Yeah, do they just not care? Or is it every Marvel movie that comes out, there's new people? Yeah,
anyway. I'm just teasing what the show is here, guys. We're going to talk about the Dark Phoenix International trailer that came out this week. And it has a bunch of new footage that wasn't in it. They took out some stuff. And we got to address some stuff that we didn't talk about, including a death that the trailer revealed. And then was revealed further by Simon Kinberg,
yeah,
which is shocking, but we'll get into that in a moment. And I just had a bunch of casting rumors that, like, are all, like, completely rumors, and there's not a lot to say, but we're gonna let you guys know what's out there. Yeah. Let's just dive into top and first talk about that Dark Phoenix trailer. So the correction or acknowledgement, and I know some people gave us some flack about this.
Just a little flack.
Just a
last
little.
Week. The story had come out, like, not too long before. Sorry, guys. I was too excited
about the news.
About the news, and I forgot to say who we are. We are the Marvel Movie News panel. I'm Zach Wilson. This is Zia Anderson.
Hey.
And this is Christian Blatt.
What up?
The lucky.
Yeah.
I had to work. I was supposed to be there.
There was a ticket with your name on it.
I'm still bitter. but we're this.
Well, you got a bunch of money in your pocket.
So
there you go.
I was busy.
Yeah.
As I was saying, right before we got into the studio, there was some news that we missed, and a lot of people were talking about this moment in the Dark Phoenix trailer where it looks like maybe, and so. This is maybe a spoiler, but it's now out there.
It is in the trailer, and there are a lot of articles about it.
Yeah. So, like, just fair warning if you really don't want to be spoiled for Dark Phoenix, but Jean tosses Mystique.
Yeah.
And when I watched the trailer several times, I thought, oh, she threw Mystique.
Yeah.
She attacked her.
She got angry.
Didn't think anything of it.
And everybody, that's why we didn't talk about it, because I didn't think it was a moment. I thought it was just like, yeah, she's mad and she hurt her friend. Like,
yeah.
That sucks. And there's a moment where she says, like, why did you make me do that? She was my friend. I didn't key into the word was as heavily as everyone else did. Basically everyone's thinking, oh, they killed Mystique. did they kill Mystique in the trailer? And that's an interesting theory, but I disagree with it. Whatever. Yeah. And like we talked about everything else. Well, Simon Kinberg last week confirmed in an interview that yes, they did kill Mystique.
I know. That's
in
so
the trailer.
Crazy.
Which, why would you confirm it? One, yeah. That's my biggest, that's not even one, that's just my biggest question. If like,
that's it.
Whether you're going to do that or not, like as a huge raising of the stakes kind of moment, like character deaths can be debated. I need to see it in the movie before I really pass judgment on whether or not it was earned. Why would you tell us sick like a bunch of months before we see the movie?
If nothing else, it gives you weeks of shows just like this one where we're like, do you think she dies? No, of course she doesn't die. Well, I think it keeps you talking about the movie for much longer.
Yeah.
And then if you go, oh yeah, Mystique, she's dead.
Well, I think that, and I think I actually, even in an interview, he teased it a little bit, that they're going to kill off more people. And they're just teasing you with Mystique's death. But there are going to be other casualties.
It seems that way. And if you watch the international trailer, which if you weren't with us last week, we have to, due to copyright laws, all that kind of fancy legal stuff. We can't watch trailers anymore on the show.
But you can watch it.
But you can watch it. You could pause this and watch it and come back. Or you could just watch it afterwards, whichever, you know, keep watching. I pulled like a few pictures from the beginning of stuff that like we didn't really see. We saw moments of, but we didn't get to see as clearly. So we bring up that first photo, Ma Rissa, who's with us in the booth. Thank you, Ma Rissa. I'm going to continue pronouncing that Cree name because it just
makes
me.
I like this name.
So I think, yes, this one is, which one is that? Yeah. It's very blurry, but this is the best I could grab because we actually got to see Nightcrawler in space bamfing about in space.
That is cool.
And that's awesome. But what we saw is a moment where Nightcrawler and bamfs with Jean to, I assume, rescue an astronaut who's in some kind of peril.
Yeah.
And then bamfs back with a duct taped helmet and no Jean.
Right.
And then if we go to the other photo, we see Jean, with no helmet in space.
Yeah.
The other half of that. And then I think it might have gotten out of order, but that third photo for Dark Phoenix that we pulled might have been at the top there. There it is. That one. That is what appears to be the Phoenix Force.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is definitely what definitely it appears Phoenix. To
yes.
be. Yes.
Yeah.
I take nothing for granted. It's the Phoenix Force. but yeah, it looks. It reminds me a little bit of like the cloud, the nano cloud from the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh wow! It kind of does.
Maybe it's the same effects team.
Which like. It, whatever. I mean, we're not going to be like dealing with it for 2 hours of the movie, but it just made me, it reminded me of that. Anyway, but so we got a bunch of that. We got a little bit, we got more of young Jean interacting with Professor X and a whole bunch of other stuff. So check it out. We talked about the trailer at length last week. So yes. I don't want to spend too much time on it.
This is another trailer with some different stuff.
Yeah. It is a much better trailer because it does a better job teasing.
Yeah.
And getting us like hyped for it.
Like, it got me more excited, definitely. I'm like, oh, I'm actually excited to watch this now.
It looks darker in this trailer. Yeah. It looks more intense. It's just a really good trailer. Whether or not the movie's good, we'll just have to wait and see.
And I'll just point out Mystique is in the trailer, the international trailer. So she's in the movie at some point, right?
They did cut that line, she was my friend.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if it was a reaction to all of the...
Yeah, that's true.
All that stuff. All right, moving forward, because I want to make sure we have time for Christian to talk, so we're just going to keep going forward. Kevin Feige confirmed in an interview with Collider that, yes, Guardians 3, whenever it is made, because he was very clear, like it's on the back burner now, but it will use James Gunn's script. He said it like it was just like news that was out there, so he basically was like, yeah, we're going to use it, it's the script. They're not going to bring James Gunn back. They didn't really talk about that at length, but like, they don't have a new director. They're not fast tracking that movie, but they will be using the script at least for a starting point that James Gunn wrote.
Yeah, and I think that doesn't surprise me because my understanding is that some people, I feel like Dave Bautista and maybe Chris Pratt had read it or at least had a sense of what it was. Maybe they knew what the story was. So I think that people knew that there was something and they're like, yeah, it's probably pretty good. Let's not throw it away. And look, Disney has billions upon billions of dollars, but I'm sure they spent a decent amount of money on a well-written script that was going to be very shootable by a director. So I think that they kicked it around for a while. I was like, we ought to use this.
I mean, Pratt, that was the last time that we'd heard about this was Chris Pratt, like, mentioning the script and yeah. Probably was like, oh, we're totally using that script because it's so bonkers yeah. and crazy. I forget the exact quote, but it was like the most Chris Pratt, like, nonsense you've ever heard. What about you, Zia? Are you excited that we're definitely going to get Gunn's script?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he did such a great job on 1 and 2. I was worried that they weren't going to use it, and what else were we going to get? You just never know. So, yeah, I'm really happy that they're using it. I wish that they... I mean, this is so old, but I wish they'd never fired him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of the, like... It's the unfortunate, like, hypocrisy of the whole situation. Yeah. It's like, you fired him off directing because you're, like... I'm mad at these tweets, but like you're still gonna use his script, so his name's still gonna be all over the movie. And then why did we have to go through all this?
Yeah, just don't fire people for making jokes.
Well, those jokes were terrible.
But it doesn't matter. It's still a joke. Like freedom of speech. Like I don't even get me started on it. I'm gonna go into a crazy tangent.
If he had made those jokes recently, like while he was like working on these movies and all that. I would have said that's really in poor taste, and it portrays like you are while it is a more adult skewing film, it's still a family movie, and it shows that would show a poor like sense of judgment,
right?
If you've done those recently, but he did them years ago,
and they hired him anyway.
He was an unknown. They hired him way after that, yeah. And he had also owned up to previous to all of this without Disney's getting involved. He'd already owned up to like these are bad. I'm sorry. Like they were bad right. jokes. He acknowledged that he'd grown. It was actually that he had an arc. My favorite was Sean Gunn talking about it. He had an arc similar to the Guardians where he was kind of an asshole, started working with a bunch of good people, and he became better for it.
And right. That's okay.
And obviously we don't want to dwell on this, but I think it comes down to they were about abusing children and it's Disney and it's like it doesn't matter how long ago they were. I think it was reactionary that they did it so fast. But now when you're a company like that, you can't be like, oh, you know, we'll hire him back. So I understood yeah. what the thinking was. It's like if there's one thing that that company can't be associated with, it would be that. So
well, then don't hire him. Do your research before you hire
the thing.
People.
They should have known about it beforehand. Yeah. And allegedly they did. So
for what it's worth, as long as we're talking about the guns, Sean Gunn, you may remember, played Kraglin in Guardians 1 and 2. Has made some comments that he would be up for appearing in Suicide Squad 2.
Nice.
And his brother called.
Nice.
He's not doing it, but he did say in this interview, I have very strong feelings that Kraglin's story is not complete.
I like that.
Yes, more Kraglin, please. more Kraglin goes to Stars Hollow. Some of you understood that joke.
I get it.
Yes, thank you, Marissa. So let's keep going forward. Victoria Alonso made some comments today as she's doing the interview circuit for Captain Marvel that she thinks that the MCU and the world is ready for a gay superhero. And this is a really cool statement that this is like one of the executive producers of a lot of the Marvel movies, and not all of them, coming out to say we're ready to see a gay lead in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it easily could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially, I think, relevant ahead of, like, following up on a year that had Black Panther, the first, like, at least recent movie led by an African-American superhero character. I say recent because, like...
Blade.
I can, every time...
Because Blade.
During the Oscars, people were like, it's the first black superhero. We're like... Well, like I know Blade was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it was awesome. Gosh.
Like, not to diminish any of what Black Panther accomplished, but it's like, But
don't
Wesley Snipes is out there like waving a sword in the air.
Hey guys.
And we're getting Captain Marvel. Marvel, and this is like definitely a true statement. This is Marvel's first female led movie. We've had a movie where you had a female in a shared lead with Ant-Man and the Wasp, but solo lead Captain Marvel. Taking on Patty Jenkins tweeted some very nice for the movie from the Wonder Woman crew, but Victoria Alonso's comments are just I think doubling down on Marvel's commitment to diversity in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'm all about it. My question for you guys is, what do you think would be the right project for this to happen in? Is there a character you really think that they should be pushing to the forefront to do the story, or is there one in the docket that you think like we can like learn some more about a character?
I think that the mistake they shouldn't make is taking a character whose backstory is not that they're gay, mm-hmm. and then deciding that they are. I mean, if it really suits a story and you're willing to explain it, sure. I just think that's when you start to get into backlash. So the main character comes to mind is if they were ever to do anything with Alpha Flight, which has North Star. So that's a lot of characters, and he's one of many, and his sister's also on the team. And he was I think he was the first gay Marvel character. I know he was the first gay Marvel wedding. But so that's somebody who comes to mind immediately. Also, I'd just love to see an Alpha Flight movie because I want to see Sasquatch be really big and Puck be really little. That's what it really comes down to for me.
You're like, that's the only reason.
Yeah, no, because it'll work because I like the whole team. I really want Sasquatch.
Alpha Flight.
Hey, our Canadian viewers are excited at the idea that there'd be an Alpha Flight movie.
I mean, look, I'll be first in line for it.
Yeah.
It makes me giggle so much. The one that we're even saying that, and that there is an actual possibility that could happen. Like, it's not even, not like definite, but it could.
Yeah.
I think that the more likely chance that we're going to see this happen is the Eternals.
Mm, okay.
It's an ensemble cast, and there are rumors according to Variety that like the Marvel might be looking to have the lead of that be someone who's gay.
I did read that. Is that now that the character that they're going with, Christian, you might know, were they gay?
Who's that?
Eternals. Sorry.
Zach, you are better versed in the more recent Eternal stories. The Eternal story that I read that I know really well is the 12-issue limited series from 1985. And my understanding is no one was gay in that.
Okay. To my knowledge, it wasn't like anything. So there was no, it wasn't a major part of the story, of the Neil Gaiman run that I ran. But those characters are thousands and thousands and thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the main relationships is a heterosexual relationship. It's like on again, off again, over the centuries, mm-hmm. kind of thing. But those characters are not super well known. I doubt anybody's going to be super precious about the sexual orientation mm-hmm. of the Eternals. And I think like as long as you keep like the heart of it, like I really enjoyed that, like the idea of these beings have been around for thousands of years and there's a romantic relationship between two of them, but like being together for thousands of years, that might be tough.
So that
they go on and off again makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So I think that I would like to keep around, but there's no reason it can't be between two guys. There's no reason you can't also have a character who's bisexual in that part of the conversation.
And you're right. That is a property that is hardly, you know, the most precious. You know, it's like if you were going to make Ben Grimm or Johnny Storm to be gay, I think that there might be a little bit of a backlash because traditionally those characters haven't been. And they're like the first family of the Marvel Universe. But these are the Eternals. And to your point, over thousands of years, a lot of things can happen. I think people would be more open to it if it was maybe that sort of a film.
Yeah. It's mainly like the only like push up that you're going to get from it is like relationships that you like from the books that you want to see on screen. Like, Ben Grimm got married recently, and like I would like to see him and his wife like meet in the real world. Yeah. Like that could be a really interesting story. There's no Johnny Storm, on the other hand, there's no reason he can't be the exact same character but be gay.
Right. And, you know, I mean, look, again, he's been single a long time, and you know, there's a lot of familiar Marvel female faces that you know, broke up with him, so maybe he would just want to try something new.
Anyway, we could ship this kind of stuff all day. I know I would. But let's move forward and talk about Morbius.
Can I just say that I'm actually really excited for this?
That's fine. I just, sorry. It's more of those, like, honestly, I know people liked Venom. I wasn't a huge fan. But, like, basically, you're taking a character and, like, as long as the creative team does it right, like, you could just make a good movie out of a character.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I know I harp on this movie a lot, but it's more just, like, it's more the concept of taking characters that, like, started with Spider-Man and taking him out of it. I think with this one's fine. It's like, I don't need Morbius in Spider-Man, but I did want, I'm still, maybe I'm just still bitter about that, like, now it's going to be forever before we get a good adaptation of Spidey and Venom on screen. Because of the success of the Venom movie, like, and the Homecoming franchise and everything, they're so separated, I'm not going to get what I wanted. So I'm taking it out on Morbius. I acknowledge that. I'm sorry, Morbius. But we got our first photo from the set of the movie, and our first look at Michael Morbius himself, where Jared Leto posted this photo of, it's basically just a slate photo. You can see, like, the logo for the movie, and you see him, like, hidden behind it.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the fangs or anything, which is really a half-measured Jared Leto.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, it looks right. Like, I like if this is the color palette of the movie, mm-hmm. like I see immediately what they're gonna go for, like,
sets
that
tone.
That very cold, like, almost like dead tone, like, that could, I could see that totally working.
Yeah, absolutely. I just like vampire movies also, not Twilight. I mean, like,
why not?
I just had to get ahead of that. I'm sorry.
They glow.
They sparkle.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's not great.
See, I just betrayed the fact that I've never seen any of those movies.
But Interview with a Vampire, and I don't care what anyone says, I liked Queen of the Damned. So I'm just fine with this just being an awesome vampire movie. The fact that it's Morbius and Marvel makes it cooler.
Well, to Zach's point, the fact that they were making a Morbius movie just surprised me. I'm like, that's the property that they've isolated. As like, that's the next one.
Because they want to do the Dark Twilight movies.
Right.
With Morbius the living vampire.
He goes out in the daytime. He sparkles. What?
Oh, no. More Morbius news, Tyrese Gibson is reportedly in talks to join the film. No word officially, obviously, because it's a rumor, who he's going to play, but it sounds like he's going to, the rumor is he's going to be playing some kind of federal agent or official type person hunting vampires.
Trying to get Morbius.
Yeah. See, what I would want to, the other thing I could see is Morbius v. Blade. What if Wesley Snipes is secretly in this movie? Or what if Tyrese Gibson is secretly playing Blade? Marvel wouldn't let that happen, because Marvel owns the Blade rights again.
Ah, okay. Mm.
They could. I mean, I could see them leasing over to Sony, but I doubt they would.
I doubt that would be this movie. You know, maybe they're because they seem to have their own Blade plans that they're just not really telling us yet.
Yeah. No. But again, I would watch the hell out of that.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.com. FM to get started.
Listen to my ideas, Sony. Anyway, so Tyrese Gibson looks like he's going to be joining the film. It's going to be very clearly very actiony. I imagine the tone with his casting, with this photo that we're going to, I think you're going to see something very similar to Venom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that tone, the visuals of it, just the sensibility, I think that's exactly what we're going to get with this.
And Gamer Girl, I liked Venom too, so you're not alone. And I don't mind that this has that sort of Venom feel to it.
Yeah.
Action-wise, I'm cool with it.
Black Widow has some casting rumors. Supposedly, Emma Watson is in talks for a lead role of some kind. Emma Watson, who...
sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry continue. To our listeners' ears.
Sorry, guys.
But if there's too many Emmas out there and you're like, which one is that? Hermione.
She's Hermione.
thus the shrieking from Zia, in yep. case you were wondering why she was so excited. Yeah.
So Hermione Granger might be joining the Black Widow movie in an unknown but lead role of some kind.
Oh, my God. I hope she plays one of her spy friends.
Her spy friends?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be interesting, like... like Scarlett Johansson is not like, especially with Marvel's like de-aging software that they can just like, oh, you want to look like 20 years younger? Boom.
We gotcha.
Boom. Kevin Feige's just like, give I me can that do software. That. But like, I imagine if she's going to be, then it would be like somebody else in the Red Room with her.
Yeah.
Unless, what if she's playing, what if she's playing Pym's daughter?
Oh.
Oh.
The Unstoppable Wasp.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm getting too excited because there's no way they're going to do that. But let me fanboy here for a moment.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I'll listen.
If we get Nadia Pym. So Nadia Pym was Hank Pym's daughter from his first marriage.
Not to the Wasp.
Not to the Wasp. Right. Not to Janet Van Dyne. Hank Pym's story in the comics, they haven't said any of this up in the MCU, is that he was married and in love, and his wife was assassinated as part mm-hmm. of a complicated plot. And that part of that grief is part of what causes his downward spiral and drives him to become the Ant-Man and research into all this tech. She was a brilliant scientist as well, who helped design some of the ant communication tech. Well, they had a daughter that he never knew about, and she was captured and raised in the science division of the Red Room. If this sounds interesting to you, please go check out The Unstoppable Wasp, which was written by Jeremy Whitley. It was so good, and then it got canceled, and they brought it back because it was so popular in reprints and trades. And so the daughter finally escapes from the Red Room and becomes the new Wasp. And there's a bunch of other cool story points that I'm not going to spoil for you. Read the comic. It's really cool. I'm sorry, I'm nerding out so hard.
No, that's awesome.
But that could be a really interesting way. And it's something that I think that the MCU is sort of missing a little bit here and there, is those like random tie-ins where you don't expect it. Like where you pull characters from like it, that like extra level comic book stuff where like character pop, the way that you get like, we haven't had the same Coulson type of tie-in stuff right. since he left, and like where the Netflix shows had Turk and the Phase One had Coulson, like those little threads that tie everything together are so much fun or so nice. And I guess the Infinity Stones sort of took that right. over.
And Rosario Dawson is Night Nurse, the Netflix universe.
So I would love to see those kinds of pieces bring all of these different Marvel movies together in a cool way. That being said, probably not who Emma Watson is playing, but I think it could be really cool if it turns out that that's what
ZSB Lou in the chat has some suggestions. Emma Watson Please. Could play Iron Maiden, Black Lotus, Wrangler, Snapdragon, or Yelena Belova. I'm not going to pretend I know who that last one is. All very viable possibilities. But
is Yelena Belova one of the earlier Black Widows?
That's a good question.
Is because I'm trying to think if that's who, because we had a former Black Widow or like a character who was known as a former Black Widow on Agent Carter back in the day, but I don't remember her name because I unfortunately haven't watched that show in a while. I love that show, but I can't remember.
She is a former Black Widow.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I don't know if she's
really cool.
Yeah, I think she is that character from.
Okay, yeah. So we technically have an MCU version of Yelena Belova from the back in the 1940s, but that doesn't mean that there can't be other Black Widows in the mix, because it's a title that does get occasionally passed down until our Black Widow owns it forever.
Forever. I was just gonna say that forever.
But yeah, I mean that's the big one. I feel like there was another one that I didn't copy over. But the point is, Black Widow is getting on the casting soon. Like, this movie is in full force.
Woohoo.
It's not gonna be rated R. It's gonna have some cool people besides Scarlett Johansson. It's like, so it all but confirmed that it's a prequel. I'm excited.
And just, we're getting a lot of clarification. This was Dottie on Agent Carter, who turned out to be Black Widow. Is a Black Widow is what everybody's saying.
That was her cover name.
Exactly. So that's who we meet her as early in the series.
Yeah. Thank you. But thank you for your clarification.
I just wanted to give everybody their credit.
Okay. Christian.
Hey.
I think it's time for us to talk. For you to talk to us about some Captain Marvel.
Yes, because I saw Captain Marvel, and...
rub it in, why don't you?
I'm just saying, I would have been more than happy to sit with either or both of you. It just didn't work out that way.
So, I want to be clear to everyone, no spoilers here.
Yeah.
But depending on your level of sensitivity to reactions to movies, like, make your own decision, but no plot points.
No plot spoilers, points.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was really fun. I did really like it. She's great. I think Brie Larson is great. I had this expectation that she was going to be a little bit more cold and distant than some MCU characters, but that was just from everything I saw in the trailers. And she was Carol Danvers. You know, she has her moments where it's like, oh wow, she's really tough, but you can see just, you know, she's very likable as Carol, which I think is very important. Obviously, they're not going to hire an actress who's unlikable, you know. But I wasn't sure how warm she was going to be, you know, especially because just what you see in the commercials about her backstory, you know, the little bits that you can see just in the trailers. So I thought they did a great job with her. I will say that my minor criticism is that it takes a little while to get going. It's not boring, but once it really gets going, it's so great. It's so much fun. You know, you're along for the whole ride. And there are a couple of surprises that maybe I'm just not smart enough that I wasn't expecting. So there were some really cool things in the movie. And the sequences that we all saw in the trailers and TV spots where she's using her powers, especially in space, they're every bit as good as you would hope they would be. It's all really cool visually. It's so well done, and it's a great fit in the Marvel universe, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think that they did a great job having this story that happens to be in 1995, which I don't know if that's a spoiler because we just knew it was in the 90s. It's very clearly 1995 because of something that's said at one point, but it's, and I think that getting to see her and Nick Fury interact is, for me, just the high point. It's just the most entertaining parts of the movie. Her using her powers is amazing, but I loved watching her and Fury together. And the de-aging on her and Coulson, we've all seen that in... the de-aging on Fury and Coulson, we've seen that in the trailers. It's very compelling. It's amazing how well they did it because, you know, to see it for a few seconds in a trailer, but in a whole scene, you're just like, yeah, he looks like Sam Jackson in, like, you know, Pulp Fiction era. You know, they did it. We didn't have the Jerry curls, but, you know, he looks like a younger Sam Jackson.
That's amazing. And
I love that Coulson has a full head of hair because he would have at that point.
Yeah.
You know, just little touches like that.
Before, like, his world gets launched into crazed, like, oh, God, the 084s, you guys.
Go find this hammer out in the desert.
Actually, he was talking about that. Clark Gregg was talking about that a little bit, that moment where apparently he was, like, on the set of Iron Man 2, and they're like, he's like, what's it? He asked, like, he just, like, off screen was like, hey, what is in New Mexico? And he's like, oh, are you available for Thor? He's like, well, I can be. But yeah, I mean, and like Kevin Feige made some comments that I read talking about the de-aging process, where he was saying that it's easy because those two just don't age like normal people. Which, if you look at interviews with Clark Gregg or Sam Jackson this week, is totally true.
Yeah.
made the job a lot easier.
There's actors that you certainly would need to de-age when you have them in a movie. But if they hadn't and they were just like, oh, can you just go with it? It's Sam Jackson. It's 1995. I know he doesn't look... But it would have been fine.
Pull a wet, hot American summer.
And people in the chat are wondering if the cat steals the movie. I love the cat. Now, granted, I grew up a cat person. I don't have one now. But I'm a big fan of the cat. And I don't know if the cat's name is a spoiler. So I'm not even going to say that. I'm just going to say the cat. I love the cat. I'm a big fan.
I love cats. I can't wait for the cat now.
Yeah.
Goose.
Okay, well, so we are saying, I didn't know if the
that's
name was out there.
We've been talking about talking about Goose for a while.
Yeah. All right.
We've talked about why it's Goose and not Chewy, like the which it is in the comics, like the whole thing.
And people want to know if they can ask me questions about the movie. You can ask questions, but if my answer would be a spoiler, I'm not going to give you that kind of answer. But please ask questions.
While you look for questions, reviews for Captain Marvel, and I haven't read any like extensively. I basically just look at headlines.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to read reviews before I see the movie, but I want to be able to talk to you guys about what's out there. The reviews have been somewhat mixed.
Yeah.
The first reactions that we saw were all very positive, and like mostly people that I'm close to have liked it so far. Rotten Tomatoes in the curated things, because like the spammers have been trying to do their BS again this week on different sites. But the Rotten Tomatoes critic score is 82%.
Yes.
So these are verified critics who, like, Rotten Tomatoes trust. Which, like, that's not the highest of Marvel movies gotten, but that is very good. Because critics, especially for comic book movies, tend to be a little more...
Yeah, I mean, we all saw, you know, I don't know that they were verified, but we all have seen DC movies that are, like, in the 30s or 40s when they are released. So, obviously, you know, if you're in the 80s, that is very good. There was a question about when the end credit scenes are. There's a mid credit and then there's one at the very end. So you, of course, have to stay to the very end. But you should always stay to the very end, just in case.
To give credit to the people who worked on the movie.
All those people who worked hard.
And also to see whatever Marvel put at the end of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
To make sure that you see all those people who worked on it. But yeah, so the reviews are mixed. I'm excited to finally be able to form my own opinion very soon. Very soon.
I know. When is your ticket?
I am, depending on when I get out of work tonight, if anyone, like, I work on a live show that ends sometime between 11:30 and midnight on Thursdays. So my late night Thursday screenings are...
early Friday morning.
So depending on when I get out, I might just like try to get a ticket for late tonight. I might just go in the morning after I've slept. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hey, you can always see it that night being exhausted and then the next morning again after you've slept.
That's true. I mean, I'm going to see it probably twice before I see our lovely audience again.
Definitely. Yeah, I do plan to see it again before we all come back around, because not only did you guys not go to the movie on Monday, my wife didn't go either. So let me just talk. Ben Mendelsohn is great in the movie. I'll just leave it at that. It's a great job.
I'm looking forward to that.
And just on the whole, the casting is great. There's something that I'll be really excited to talk about next week that I can talk about this week. And then also, just look, we all know Skrulls are in the movie. Seeing Skrulls is really cool to finally get to see, because we've seen various kinds of body doubles and things before and all sorts of movies, but we've never actually gotten the Skrulls. And just to see them, you know, we saw the scene in the trailer where they're all on the beach. All that stuff is so cool, to actually see Skrulls shape-shifting. And revelations of Skrulls along the way are also just really well done. It's so much fun to finally have the Skrulls in a movie.
Yeah. Before we move off of the topic entirely, I did want to show you guys a picture of something that I'm real excited about related to Captain Marvel. And I consider this a public service announcement to you guys. But Jen Bartel, the comic book artist, is doing a collaboration with Adidas... for some Captain Marvel sneakers that look so dope, so good. I want a pair extremely badly. We'll throw them up on the screen if they're not up already.
Oh, those are so cool.
Yeah, and it's hard to see on this screen, but like there's like really unique, like Jen Bartel style, like lines on the front toe in the blue area. I also wanted to bring this up because Adidas, I want to talk to you. I know these shoes come out tomorrow, so these decisions have probably already been made. But the last time there was a Captain Marvel shoe that I really, really wanted, it came out from Vans, and Vans only made them in sizes up to a men's 10.
What?
Yeah, it was some weird sexist nonsense, because they literally had a whole bunch of Marvel lines, and like the Deadpool sneakers went up to 13, and the like other shoes went up, the other like male hero shoes went up to 13. But the Captain Marvel shoes only went up to 10, and I got big feet. So please, Adidas, make them up to bigger sizes.
Guys want that stuff too. Come on.
I want to rock my Carol shoes.
I got small feet, so I'm okay. But for Zach, go ahead.
That's my plea. I've never been a sneakerhead,
yeah.
But this would make two expensive shoes I've bought in like a 6 month period because I just spent a bunch of money on those Miles Morales Air Jordans.
Oh yeah,
nice. I mean, look, for shoes like that, I understand you have to.
Yeah, and I might do it again. Anyway,
but just to tie into that really quickly, there's some really great Captain Marvel merch that at the screening I went to on Monday, there's a lady had a jacket. Like, the jacket is really cool.
The jacket is super cool.
The jacket that Disney put out.
Yeah. And there's just so much great stuff. And look, it's great to see because, you know, Disney knows how to do merchandising. They're really good at that. But it's just great when you see all of the different options that are out there. And, you know, once the movie opens big, I think we'll start to see, we're going to see Carol everywhere. I think.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole wall at Target. Yeah. Anyway, I think we've got just enough time for some Marvel TV time.
Marvel movie news. We're talking TV time.
So now you got us to play the guitar for me. I can just sit back.
Yeah, that's right.
Sit back and watch our cool performance.
Yes, exactly. So first things first, we needed to issue a small correction.
Yeah, this is my fault.
No, we're all capable.
Yeah, but I got roped in and misread a story. Jessica Jones season 3 is not premiering tomorrow like I thought it was. We also don't know when it's premiering.
Tomorrow?
That's when I thought it was.
Oh, I guess we had to.
Because it was going to come out the same day. But I got so frantic about this, I tried to figure out how I made the mistake. Apparently, March 8th was when season 2 dropped last year. But I saw March 8th in an article, and I was like, oh my God, it's going to be the same day as Captain Marvel.
You were too excited.
I was so excited because I, as much as I don't want the Netflix universe to end, I was excited to see another season. And so Netflix is going to take their time, and they're going to tell you when you get to see it. So I don't know when it's coming. But when it does, we will let you know.
Our ears are peeled.
Yes.
Marvel. Nice. Some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news, because, you know, I always got to talk S.H.I.E.L.D. Clark Gregg's obviously making the interview circuit, and there's going to be a ton of information out there as he talks more. He made some comments that he thinks, I mean, obviously he knows that he thinks, we talked about a little bit last week, that season 7 might be the last for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Whether it's the last of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think that those characters could live on. Like, I maintain that I think after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes away, there's a very good chance that we get Secret Warriors as a franchise.
I think that would be great.
On Disney Plus, like, you just pick up Quake, and then whether you take anyone else with her is, like, either way. But you take Quake, and you just launch Secret Warriors with either Inhumans or, if you can say the word yet, mutants, whoever. Like, you just have her assemble like a ragtag team of trained agents to fight whatever comes, and there's your Secret Warriors. I don't think they're going to want to mention Inhumans anymore. I think they're like, let's not just leave that one alone.
Yeah, I don't think people talk about that one.
But Clark Gregg also said that he thinks that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. might see a reboot following. And
really?
Not in the way that like that word has a lot of baggage with it.
Okay.
But the way that he says that, like, after the Avengers and the Battle of New York, the game was completely changed. The mission of S.H.I.E.L.D. changed. And after Endgame, S.H.I.E.L.D. may undergo a similar complete shift.
Hmm.
Okay. So
I could see that.
That's interesting. So they're just going to basically change sort of the direction of the show.
Well, I mean, we could go hypothetical about how after Winter Soldier, S.H.I.E.L.D. went underground, and then who knows, maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. becomes a little bit more on the up and up again, you know, like it was during the first season of the show. So, yeah. You know, I mean, just me putting a theory out there that's not based on anything. So,
I mean, we still don't know who Clark Gregg is playing in this new season. Like, I've heard a lot of rumors about, like, whether he's coming in as an alien, part of an alien force. My theory that I came up with right before the show, when I was just thinking about it, is like, what if this is Agent Coulson, but this is like Agent Coulson from like 1995, like right before, like what if we go back and we pull from Captain Marvel that way, where we meet like young Coulson? And he's like, why am I so old? Because they can't do that to the aging story on a weekly show. All right, my computer's officially died on me. That's what you get using a backup computer.
That's all right. I've still got the chat open, and you know, I know that we do want to take some questions and the
YouTube thing. So. But I am excited, and we'll definitely I assume we'll have some more S.H.I.E.L.D. news as like Clark Gregg's interview circuit continues over the weekend. But so let's talk a little. Let's move into Doom's Question Corner.
Woohoo!
Right, we still need a graphic or music.
That'll come.
We'll get to it.
It's only our second corner episode. But we always want to take some time to take your questions, the fans. So if you missed the announcement last week, this is what we're going to be doing every week from now. We're going to take the last few minutes of the show to ask to answer your questions, and you can send them to us ahead of time by emailing them to doomsquestioncorner@gmail.com.
Or if you're watching right now on YouTube, go ahead and give us your questions right now. We'll try to get one or two of them in before the end.
Christian will be watching the chat. So I want to we got a question from Kyle Bison, via the email, who says, "Hey Doom, any thoughts on if Hulu were to use Mojo in a Crypt Keeper Elvira role at the top of their animated shows to tie them all together?"
Wow. That would be so cool.
Have not heard anything to that extent. However, that is an awesome idea.
Yes.
Mojo is a ridiculous character, and the idea that like he could be like running this like network behind the scenes is totally it totally works with
Mojo World canon. Everything is on TV, you know, the X-Babies, Longshot, all the stuff that's in the backstory for Mojo. I love that idea more than I probably have any business loving it, but I would love Mojo to sort of have that kind of role as the perfect way to say it, like as the Crypt Keeper, the Rod Serling of Marvel.
Yeah, I think it is an awesome idea. I don't know if they're going to do it, but like I also wouldn't have thought that they were going to do a show about MODOK.
Very true.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, that's the kind of crazy stuff that if they're willing to do that, I could totally see it. Riley Hill had a question of whether we think that Penance could ever make an appearance in the MCU. Are you guys familiar with Penance?
Not
formerly
so much.
Known as Speedball.
Oh God, I hope not. Then I actually had I talked on the other show we do on Marvel TV Weekly over on AfterBuzz. Speedball is just to me one of the worst creations. I know it came from Steve Ditko, but look, let's be honest, it's Steve Ditko late in his life. So, right? This wasn't Spider-Man.
So obviously, we would never get Penance in the same form that we got him in the comics. Penance is. So Speedball in the original Civil War comic is one of the people who causes the explosion that launches the Civil War. It kills a lot of children and stuff like that. It's a similar effect, but not the same exact thing that happens in the movie. But with him being at the center of it, he's put in jail. He is like wrought through the streets under trial, and like obviously is dealing with the remorse of having accidentally, like unintentionally, but he did kill a bunch of kids. And his powers were fluctuating because of that. And it's like this super gothy, dark, messed up story where, like, he has to feel pain in order to use his powers. So he has a suit that, like, inflicts wounds into him as his penance for what he did.
It's an amazing concept.
It's a dark concept, and I could like that angle of, like, I don't think Disney Marvel will ever tackle that, because that's so weird and like I could see it being like really misinterpreted by young minds, like, and that's not something I tend to harp on, but it's such a like pain, positive stuff from pain is such a grim thing to tackle that I don't think you'd ever see it. I don't even think you'd want to do it on screen necessarily.
No, but if there were a character I wanted to inflict pain on, it would be Speedball. So I'm completely on board for this.
Whoa!
Wow, Christian.
I'm just saying, the rest of the New Warriors I was fine with, but Speedball, come on. So,
well, thank you for the question, Riley. That I definitely did stop and think about that, because it's like, oh man, I haven't thought about penance in years. Christian, is there anything from the live chat?
Well, yeah, there's a good one from D-Monet's, which I think might be D-Money's. So potential villains for Black Panther sequel. We're just having fun with these. Doctor Doom, Namor, Kraven, the Hunter, or someone else. I'm going to say someone else, but I love all three of those, and I would like to see them on the big screen.
I think Doom needs more time. Mm-hmm. You got to establish him way more before you do him in a Black Panther. He has way more like backstory and stuff to just make him like a villain in Black Panther. Like, I would love to see that like versus movie, but I want to see Doom established first.
Yeah.
The other options there. So what was the second one?
Kraven or Namor. Yeah,
Namor could be a really cool one. It would be an interesting like struggle to establish Atlantis, especially post Aquaman. Now that that's out there, and like the general public being like, because the general public does not know who in the world Namor is.
Yeah.
And I would be worried about them thinking like, oh, is this a ripoff of Aquaman?
Yeah.
But Namor is such a good villain, like, and like when he needs to be, and taking two hidden kingdoms and making them go to war with each other could be a really interesting way to, especially as for a movie as political and as politically charged as Black Panther was.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to lose that like aspect for the sequel. That could be a really interesting way to do it, is to launch that, like, this, it's like a tribal war, like it was internal politics in the last one, but to have them go to war with another country, using a fictional one like Atlantis as the basis for it, that could be a really cool way to do it. Kraven the Hunter, I think I really want the Spider-Man story of that.
Do you mean specifically Kraven's last hunt, or just you want to meet him first?
It could be Kraven's last hunt, but like, honestly, I think the MCU version of any Kraven story is just like taking like, okay, who is this character and where is Spidey at this moment?
Right.
And then applying it as it goes. Like that's the great thing about the MCU is you can just take like the heart of these stories. You don't have to do them like page by page. That's the reason that I think the Clone Saga could actually make a great Spider-Man movie in this version. And I've talked about it a little bit before, but like the Clone Saga, a kid, a high schooler struggling to deal with who he is, because like that's what you do when you're 17,
right?
Is like, who am I? I don't really understand myself. Like I have this dichotomy because I'm two different people. Well, what happens when you drop a clone into the middle of it? You don't need to do the story of the Clone Saga, but just take the idea of a Peter Parker clone and go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is something that they, if they were to explore it, it would work. I want to get
Kraven hunting Black Panther would also be.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Cool, that would also be great. Let's see. There was a great question from Xeno Hour. After Black Widow, which female character should get a movie next? Not exclusive to characters who have already been introduced in the MCU.
Ooh, that's a good question.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a Scarlet Witch standalone movie.
Well, she's getting her TV series.
Cool. She is, yeah.
But which like I guess she's sharing going. Cool. She's sharing going.
Yeah.
But as far as... I'm just going to banter while everybody thinks, so please cut me off. Because this is a podcast, and we can't have dead air, but I have to keep thinking. I would love to, like, my brain jumped to the Wasp right away.
That's actually who I was thinking
but
of too. Yeah.
But again, like, part of why I love Ant-Man and the Wasp, it, like, those characters are always connected in my mind. Like, I don't really, they're fun separate. They're like, those two characters in all their forms are to me always better when they're a team. That's why I love those characters, is the team angle. But as far as other characters,
well, I have an answer that I will give you next week.
Please cut me off.
It is a character that I will be able to share the idea with you next week. And then, if we're talking about, Marvel getting the X-Men movies back.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know if you know who I'm talking about.
I think I do.
Well, you might. But if you're getting the X-Men back, I would like to see a lot of those characters. Let's have a really good Psylocke movie. But before we get to that, let's really explore Rogue and Storm. There are so many great characters from the X-Men universe that personally I would like to see have standalone films.
Oh, She-Hulk.
Oh yeah, duh, absolutely, She-Hulk.
There you go,
definitely.
Because a lot of my favorite female characters have actually gotten their due, like Jessica Jones.
Sure,
like we got Peggy Carter. I fell in love with because of the movies, and
of course.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But like we've gotten to explore her at length over two seasons. But She-Hulk is the big one that like, and I'm pretty sure that I know who you're talking about. And I'm pretty sure that Markia would have a meltdown if it was true.
Okay,
but. That's for next week.
We'll
talk about
it next week.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Marvel movie news. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for sending us your questions, guys. And be sure to send them to doomsquestioncorner@gmail.com if you have more questions ahead of next week, which I assume will be a little bit less because we're going to just talk about Captain Marvel all week. Next episode, we are going to be talking about Captain Marvel. All the reviews. We are going to do a spoiler-free section in case you guys can't see it before next Thursday. So just know that you'll still be able to tune in. But we will be doing, at the end of the show, a full spoiler-filled discussion of the movie. So that way, we'll give you fair warning so you can tune out when it's the right time. So thank you so much for joining us today on Marvel Movie News. Christian Blatt, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @ChristianDMZ. And Z and I also do over on AfterBuzz TV. Sunday nights at 9 Pacific, we do Marvel TV Weekly. It's a little light on the TV, so what we're going to do this week is a very deep dive on who is Carol Danvers? What about these three other characters she's been before she was ever Captain Marvel in the comics? Obviously not in the MCU. So we'll talk about her as Ms. Marvel, Binary,
and Warbird.
There you
go. I just wanted to do that.
Yeah, so exactly. Hey, you made me think of it, actually, because you did all that. So we'll talk about that on Sunday. And that's where you can find me.
Zia?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @Zia_Land. It's XIA_Land. And Facebook @ZLanderson.
All right, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @ThatZachWilson. Also, be sure to check out my other podcast, Ships in the Night, where we take random characters from different parts of fictional fandom and ship them together. This week, we did Jigglypuff and Kirby.
Oh, my God. I love that so much.
And we came, and somehow Alexa and Siri. That one got fun.
All right.
All right. That's called Ships in the Night. This has been Marvel Movie News. Guys, thank you so much for geeking out with us.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.